Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's the 20th day of December. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you. 20th day of December. It's the final week of Advent. If you observe Advent or pay attention, whether you do or not, it's Christmas week. And so a few days from now, we'll be celebrating the birth of our Savior. In grand style, worldwide. I cannot believe it's Christmas week. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, I haven't caught up yet. It's almost like a little bit of a numb thing where it's like, I don't have the right appropriate feelings that this is Christmas week. There's been a lot going on. I'm sure that I'm not alone in that. Anyway, it is Christmas week, so we'll have to catch up one way or the other. And I'm sure that we will. We're reading from the New Living Translation this week. And, well, we've come to the book of Haggai, which we'll read today. Israel was carried away into exile by the Babylonians. It was terrible, a terrible time, great, terrible sorrow. Perhaps the lowest moment for the children of Israel in all of the Bible. About 540 BC, Cyrus, king of Persia, invaded and conquered Babylon. And in 538, a couple years later, he issued a decree allowing native Israelites to return to their homeland and rebuild their temple, worship their God, and rebuild their culture. This was obviously a great day of liberation for God's people. And the book of Haggai comes about 18 years into that process. It's a snapshot that is immensely relevant to us today because it takes a hard look at motivations. Through the prophetic words of Haggai, God challenges his people about what matters most to them. God also offers hopeful promises to those who will take courage, even though they have grown weary, because of the realization that Jerusalem and the temple may never be rebuilt to the splendor that Solomon had built it. Haggai invites us all to turn the spotlight on ourselves and see whether it is God's work or our own satisfaction that we hold highest in our lives. It invites us to man up in the face of discouragement, knowing that God is supremely faithful and sovereign. Once the light of truth comes crashing into our lives, it invites us to repent and live pure lives. And it shows us that we can live courageously for God, building his kingdom, because he is always with us, ever present, regardless of circumstance. We are secure, and as we are faithful to God, he is most definitely faithful to us. Chapter 1, verse 1. Through 2:23. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying, "The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. "Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins?" This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. "Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes." This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. "Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored," says the Lord. "You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. and when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. It's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. And they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent. The people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of Heaven's armies, on September 21st of the second year of King Darius' reign. Then, on October 17th of that same year, the Lord sent another message through the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? How, in comparison, does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. On December 18th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Ask the priests this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robes, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine, or olive oil, or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priests replied, no. Then Haggai asked, if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person and then touches any of these foods, will the food be defiled? And the priests answered, yes. Then Haggai responded, that is how it is with this people and this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. Look at what was happening to you before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. When you hoped for a 20-bushel crop, you harvested only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, you found only 20. I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refuse to return to me, says the Lord. Think about this 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Think carefully. I am giving you a promise now, while the seed is still in the barn. You have not yet harvested your grain and your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But from this day onward, I will bless you. On that same day, December 18th, the Lord sent this second message to Haggai. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I am about to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow royal thrones and destroy the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and riders. The horses will fall, and their riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will honor you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. I will make you like a signet ring on my finger, says the Lord, for I have chosen you. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. Revelation 11, 1 through 19. Then I was given a measuring stick, and I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar, and count the number of worshipers. But do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. They will trample the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during those 1,260 days. These two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. They have power to shut the sky so that no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy. And they have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood, and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. When they complete their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will declare war against them, and he will conquer them and kill them, and their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, the city where their Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. All the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other to celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them, and they stood up. Terror struck all who were staring at them. Then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, come up here. And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed 1/10 of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake, and everyone else was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second terror is past, but look, the third terror is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped him. And they said, we give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. It is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people and all who fear your name. From the last to the greatest, it is time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. Then, in heaven, the temple of God was opened and the Ark of His Covenant could be seen. Inside the temple, lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. Psalm 139, 1 through 24. For the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Proverbs 30:15 and 16. The leech has two suckers that cry out, "More! More!" There are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, the blazing fire. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, considering deeply this week of Christmas, what this means, what this meant for the world. This is the week we celebrate the peace that came to the world because you came to the world. And we consider deeply that you left heaven. You left perfection to come to your imperfect people and live among us as one of us in order to redeem us, knowing that we would kill you, knowing that we must, that your blood would be spilled as a willing sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It's hard to understand. It's hard to figure it out, Lord, and that's probably because we can't. It is a mystery beyond us. It is too great for us. And yet, through it, you restored us to God. You bought us back. You reclaimed us. You loved us. And so now, like the Virgin Mary, we say, I am your servant. Whatever it is that you would like to do with our lives is not too great of an ask. What could you ask of us that you haven't already given? What can you require that you weren't willing to do? And being with you is a pure joy. Being with you is what brings true peace. Trying to figure things out on our own and in our own strength, trying to be the Lord of our own lives, that is what brings the turmoil. That is what brings the great crash. And yet you restore us with your peace. And so we walk with you. It's our desire, like Zerubbabel, that we be your signet ring on your finger. That wherever we are, it'd be a sign and a signal and a seal of the kingdom. That we be sent to do your bidding, and our arrival be as ambassadors of the kingdom. Oh, we want this, Lord, and we have failed so many times, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to think of how self-absorbed and selfish we can actually be. And so come, Holy Spirit, once again. We ask, come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. Day by day, lead us one step further into our sanctification, into our becoming more like our Savior, being transformed day by day into your likeness, into your image. And this is going to require our participation, in that we're going to need to be willing to lay down rights and wrongs. We're going to need to be willing to lay down everything for you to do your work, because you will not invade. You will come where you are welcomed, and we welcome you, Savior. We need you. Our hearts are open to you. Come, Jesus. You came to the world. You came for us and purchased our salvation. Now come and restore us daily. And may, as we contemplate the ending of the year, may we consider deeply what 2011 will look like. That we will throw our own self-preservation to the wind and walk with you wherever you are walking, and stop this nonsense of thinking that we can protect ourselves or that we would even need to, and stop this nonsense of spinning our wheels basically like a hamster on a wheel, running hard to nowhere. May we unplug from whatever we need to unplug from. May we sacrifice whatever we need to sacrifice. May we let go of whatever we need to let go of, so that we can be with you. We'll pray this because we'll need your help. We ask for your help. In the blessed name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. Come get involved in any way that you can, especially if you're an old timer, if you've been around and haven't been involved yet. Come get involved just because we're going to need your help to mentor people who are about to join the family. Come get involved. At least stop by and say hello. I'll remind you because I want to proliferate this throughout the end of the year. We created a video that will show you the Daily Audio Bible in about 2 minutes. Spread that far and wide. Spread it to all of your Facebook friends. Spread it to all of your MySpace friends. Spread it to all of your friends. Through email or whatever way, get it to whoever you know. Why would I ask that? Well, I think we know each other well enough to know why. And it certainly isn't because I would like to see how big this whole thing can get. How well known I can get. I think you know that I just really don't care. But I care a whole lot about the Word of God. And if you've been here this year, then you know the Word of God changes things. So the more people who will spend time in community going through the Word of God, the more lives that will be changed. The more lives that are changed, the more of the kingdom is brought to earth. The more ambassadors for the throne of God there are. We can reclaim what's been lost. You realize this, right? We are the ambassadors of the King of Kings. And much has been lost. But we have the authority of heaven. And so we spend our time in the Word of God every day, growing strong as we walk with Him, to live the life He's created us to live. And part of that is, well, frankly, is bringing those along that we love and those that God assigns us to. So the video is created in a, you know, little fast-paced, culturally relevant way. But that's just to communicate an invitation to the Word of God. So spread it out. There's a page that you can download it at in high definition or in standard definition. Play it at your Christmas party. Play it at Christmas. Play it at your church, especially your church. Play it at your youth group or your Bible study. And wherever you play it, let me know. I'm trying to just get a sense of where it's going. Ryan@dailyaudiobible.com is my email. And I would love to hear from you if you've used it in some way. All right, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible here at the end of the year, then I and the entire team and this whole family, we're incredibly grateful to you. We love you. We've done this together. We'll continue to do this together. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. Let's see, the store is open, of course, and we've got some Christmas stuff going on, especially the cafe. We have these little collector's cafe mugs. And I think, you know, basically, if you don't order by today, there's not a whole lot of chance it's going to get there before Christmas. So if you're buying stuff for Christmas, then better get it in. We'll do our best. I mean, we'll ship throughout the week, but I'm not sure that beyond now we're going to get it there. All right, that's it for today. I love you very much. I'm Brian, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Brian and Daily Audio Bible Community. My name is Dirk from Florida. I've been listening for about, 3 years. Anyway, I come with two prayer requests. First of all, I just got a call from my cousin a couple nights ago that his wife has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Myself, as a cancer survivor, I had a mass in my abdomen. They found last March. I know that the power of prayer is awesome. I know that together with the power of prayer and the Lord, anything can be done, because when they got to my mass, which was malignant, the cancer had died before the surgeon could get it out. And the surgical team was amazed. And the only thing I can do to describe that was divine intervention. So I'm asking for the community to put the prayers together. She's a wonderful woman. My cousin's a wonderful man. They have two wonderful children. You know, I know there's many others out there like that in the same situation. But they need a little help. She found out that she had this cancer on her 55th birthday, which adds more to it. My second request is for myself personally, and it's because of loneliness. I'm getting ready to enter this holiday season without the love of my life. We officially broke up a year ago, and it's been tough. I would not wish loneliness on anybody. I have friends, but there's nothing like having that special someone. So if you could pray about that, to have the Lord in his infinite plan either lead me to the one I'm supposed to be with, or have that one led to me, one or the other. And everybody have a great Christmas. Thank you. Bye.
Greetings, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Nathaniel in California. I'd just like to put in a prayer request for some friends of mine, James and Bea. They're husband and wife. They're going through some difficult times with their children. So it's causing them quite a bit of stress, and they don't really know too much what to do at this point. The children are young adults living at home with them. But if you would just pray that God would give them wisdom and how to deal with their children and what to do regarding their situation, be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. God bless.